Amen. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 is where we are this morning, in Joshua chapter 1. And we're talking about God's Word this morning, and I was going to go somewhere else, but it's completely. So Joshua chapter 1, verses starting in verse 6. We can start in verse 6 in Joshua chapter 1. Some of you are familiar with this, and before I read this scripture, I want to just give you a very brief background in case you don't know, but most of you probably are. I don't want to assume, but I think I'm pretty confident that most of you are. Joshua has been mentored, if you will, by Moses, God's deliverer out of Egypt, and taken under his wing with him in God's presence by the tent of the Lord, and feeling God's presence, knowing it, hearing God's voice, even with Moses, and watching how Moses is obedient to God, getting God's instruction, and then how Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, is conveying, he's giving to God's people God's law, his commands, how they ought to live and how they would be successful. And the key word is that you obey it, right? You obey it. If you do it, in Deuteronomy 8 and other chapters in Deuteronomy, it's repeated actually, that if you obey my commands, you will be blessed. And if you don't obey them, you will be cursed. Yeah, it's not a nice word. But you will be cursed. That's not good. It's not good, right? So you either obey and you're blessed, or you don't and you're cursed. There's no middle ground. Like, oh, I can be blessed and cursed. It doesn't work. You can't have salt and fresh water all at the same time, and you try to be brackish. It's pretty nasty, right? It doesn't work. So you've got to understand what's happening, because they're on the verge of going into the land that God, after wandering all these years with Moses, to step into the promised land. And Moses will not be entering, okay? And so he's going to hand it off to Joshua. And as that's about to happen, and before they go into the promised land under Joshua's leadership now, there's instruction that is given to Joshua, and it starts in verse 6. And God actually says this through, also in verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. There's repetition, so as we've learned and we know, and even in the Psalm 119 study we're doing, repetition is important. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? And here's the third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, they're about to get into the promised land. I'm going to get my water as I'm commenting here. You go out to the promised land. It's a new phase or era in the nation of Israel. And for us, this applies to anything that we are about to get into. All right, and we don't even see, but it's coming into our lives. It could be great things, a new career. It could be a new year. It could be a financial thing that's going on in your life. It could be a trial that you see coming, difficulty, and you can almost see it. It's coming, but you're on the verge of something different. And this word applies, because any time we're moving into a different place or experience in our relationship with God and our journey in life, this scripture applies. So actually, it applies all the time, everywhere. The principles and the truths that are here. And Moses, and God has given these instructions to Joshua, just as he had to Moses regarding his commands and his word. It's all about that. And let me tell you, I don't want to over-spiritualize or allegorize the context. I don't want to do that. But listen, every day affords you and I an opportunity. And I have an opportunity, not like the one that Joshua had, very similar, that every day we can be successful. My question is, will we take God at his word? Will we take God at his word? Every day. It doesn't matter what you know is coming up. It doesn't matter if you're going through difficulty. It doesn't mean it's easy. I didn't say that. But you take God at his word. Or it's pleasant and it's beautiful. We're going to be on a six-month vacation. Oh, we're about to leave Rhode Island for Florida. Well, we should pray for Florida too, by the way. Yeah. Oof, tragic. But we're going down south for the winter and we're all chill and we're ready to go and we're excited. Wherever you're going, keep God and his word at the forefront, and you can succeed when you take these things to heart. Listen, I don't think any of you this morning want to leave and walk out and be unsuccessful. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you, because we would have to have some serious conversation. Like, you want to fail, right? Like, you don't want to do well. You want things to go bad for you. You want life to be stinky. You want that. No, you don't want that. You do not want that. I know you don't, Diana. You do not want that. All right? And so we want to be successful. We find ourselves, right, sometimes driving. I know for some of you, you don't want to admit it, but you've been driving at some point in your life, and maybe even recently, and you're driving and you get lost. Even with GPS, or you didn't put it on maybe, but you get lost, right? You've done that, haven't you? Have you ever gotten lost while you're driving? I've done that as well. You failed in getting to your destination, you know, in the right way, quickly, or even on time because you got lost. And maybe it's because you failed to pay attention to the signs or listening to your GPS, whoever was talking to you in there, whatever accent you put in there, right? Maybe you had the wrong directions. That happens sometimes too. Or maybe you didn't have any directions at all and you're like, oh yeah, I remember, I get there, I remember. Yeah. And then you're completely off track. That's happened sometimes for to some of us. But God loves us so much, as you know, that he's given us, and the Bible has been referred to this, and it's not only this, but this book, the Bible, is the manual for living. You can view it that way. It is the manual for living life on earth. It's the ultimate instruction manual with the perfect directions of how we ought to live our lives so that we can be successful and get to our destination to be with God our Creator one day because of faith in Jesus and get there successfully along the way. We're not perfect, but God wants us to succeed. God didn't set us up. If he called you to be his, he did not set you up to fail. He didn't set you up to fail. Does that happen? Yes. But he doesn't set you up to fail. He's done everything to make you succeed and to prosper and to be flourishing in your relationship with him and in this world. Most people think of success, right, as that thing. If you want something and you have a goal, and when you get there and you get there on your terms and how you want it and you've gotten that, I've succeeded. Now, by definition, there's some accuracy with that understanding, right? You get what you want or what you desired and intended and you aimed for and you got it. But, you know, when you think about it, when you think about the successes in our life, a lot of times, it's when we have these, I'll call them apparent successes in life, the measurement that we have for that success has been a standard that's relative to the ideal of someone else's imagination. Right? You compare yourself to other people. And then you make that the standard and you say, well, unless I have $1 million in my 401k, I'm not going to have a successful retirement. Says who? That's the new number, or the $2 million in your 401k. Says who? Right? I mean, you're comparing, and you have these standards. It's not a bad idea, right? If you could do that, God help you. I'm not even close. Oh, man. God knows. He knows what's in there. Hallelujah. He knows how to multiply. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right? And we have this standard that we go by, and let me suggest to you that success is not being number one. It's not acquiring wealth. It's not having notoriety or even achievements that you've had and accomplishments, and those are all good. Listen, because there are so many people who are filthy rich, and they are frustrated, anxious, and just have no peace in their hearts. Is that success? Is that really success? How many celebrities, when you think about these superstars, if you want to call them that, anyway, and they deal with those pressures of being famous and having the limelight and the spotlight on them, and how many of them are just living in depression? Is that success? So we have to make sure that our standard is not somebody else's imagination or what they've put up there, but that it's God's. Because you will never be satisfied with that. Listen, success is this. It's being faithful to God and leaving the results to Him. I don't mean to be so open-ended with that or kind of like, well, I wonder what that really means. That's what it means. Be faithful to God, and the results that come, they're always going to be good because they're for your good and for His glory, and it's always a good thing. Take Him at His word from Scripture from the beginning to the end. He's got you. He's got a plan. Just be faithful and do what He says. And if we do that, in other words, I can paraphrase this by saying, just bring pleasure to God by the way that you live. Put a smile on God's face every day. Bring joy to His heart because of your submission to Him and your obedience to Him. And you know what? If you do that, that's the way that we get all the things that we really, really, really long for inside. How about things like we'll have that peace of mind. We'll have the joy of the heart. And we'll have a love that doesn't know any conditions. It's true. The first and foremost step that we have to take, because you know, when we talk about the idea of being successful and clinging to God's word, you've heard of people who have secret formulas for their, you know, grandma's famous pasta sauce and all this, and she'll never tell anybody without one secret ingredient and whatever. There's all kinds of secret formulas and secret ways to be successful and to beat the stock market and to whatever you want, whatever it is, it's all there. The secret to a long life. The secret to, the books are out there, the articles out there, all the podcasts are out there. And it is what it is. But you know what? The first, and God never, never hides or keeps it a secret. He makes it known how we can succeed and prosper in Him. Not in the world's way, not in our own imagination, but in God's mind and His heart we can prosper because the first step is to love God's word. If we're going to succeed and be prosperous, you've got to start by loving God's word. Now, I want to talk about this again in the next few sermons about God's word and something that happened in the Old Testament that resulted in revival. Okay? But this is the first step, to love God's word. There's a problem, though, if I could say, sort of. There's a problem. There's a challenge with that. And here's what it is. The world that you and I live in wants nothing to do with the Word of God. I'm not here to say it's us against the world. I'm just saying that when we're in this world and we take God's Word and we take Him at His Word, we hide it and we love Him, we got a problem. They want nothing to do with it. Most people know the Bible, right? They could tell you, they have this vague knowledge of Moses parting the Red Sea and the people go through it. But they really could care less about actually reading it. Never mind even applying it to their own lives. To them, it's just another book and probably a bunch of malarkey. But it's truth. It hasn't changed all these years, all these millennia. It has not changed. But you need to be strong and to have courage to live by the standard that God has set. Not someone else's imagination, not your thoughts, but God's standard and definition of success. And not according to the melting pot. I wrote this way. But the melting pot of your own ideas. Multiple religions, philosophies, that's called syncretism, and it's polluted and corrupted the Christian doctrine and what we believe is God's word, and it's a problem that we can fall prey to if we're not careful. That's why we have to hold on to God's word. American ideals, put that in the melting pot. Your own ideas, throw that in the melting pot of what that means, like that standard, right? Other men's dreams or desires for you. Listen, remember, before Moses died, he told Joshua and the whole nation of Israel God's law. We're studying that in Psalm 119. How can we love law? I mean, it's because God cares and wants the best for us. God's very words in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 47. Listen to the power of God's words and how important it is. And Joshua heard this and God's people heard this. He said that God's words are not just idle words for you. They are your life. The very words of God through Moses in Deuteronomy 32, 47. They are not idle words for you that you can pick and choose and say, yeah, I'll take you at your word in this place, or that's not comfortable, or that doesn't fit my world. It all fits your world, and it fits perfectly in God's perfect time, and they are your life. It takes courage to stand on God's principles when popular opinion says it's all myth, it's all made up, it can be debunked. Your resolve will be tested with a resounding, you believe what that book says? You believe that stuff? But we have reason to stand and be strong and courageous. God said that He would be with us wherever we go, didn't He? Are you going to take Him at His word? That He's with you everywhere you go, not just to New Hope Chapel on Sunday morning, not just when you're going to work, but everywhere, every moment, God is with us wherever we go. And that is reliable and it's trustworthy. And He will always do what He said that He would do. Be strong and courageous. Loving God's Word takes courage and strength in this world. It has. Since God's word was handed down even through Moses, it was always challenged by pagan nations. And even the Jewish people, the Israelites, among themselves, there was questioning about God's word. And then there was rebellion against God's word, not believing it, not taking Him at His word. So they were no strangers to that, and neither are we. But we need to be strong and courageous and steadfast in our love for God's word. God's word is everything. We know that parable in Matthew chapter 7 where there are two builders and one is building on the sand and one is building on the rock. And Jesus says a storm came. And then when that storm came and everything got crazy, the wind blew, the water came, the house on the sand, it just went down like nothing. Like it never was there. Then the house on the rock, it stood firm because it was founded on the rock. And the picture is that Jesus says, God's word is a rock. My word is a rock. And anybody who builds their life on my teachings, what I say, and they do it, you will stand on that rock. You will succeed. You will persevere through it. You'll stand through it no matter what happens. You won't be knocked down and destroyed. Oh, that's amazing. Do you take Him at His word through that parable? Do you take Him at that, your word? God's word gives you a rock-solid base that can never be destroyed, no matter how tough life becomes. Ever. We prove our love. Think about this progression here. We start by loving God's word, and we see that in Joshua, that it's got to be the emphasis, the priority, the focus. But we prove our love for God's word by our meditation upon it. He says there in the text we read, and he's instructed that he ought to meditate on it day and night. Meditation is focusing our thoughts and our attention on God's word. What are you meditating on? What do you find yourself meditating on? Well, I don't know. I just daydream and I drift off half the day. Well, here I am. Meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. If it's not hidden in your heart, bring it with you to work. Open your phone app, whatever it is. Meditate on God's word. Have a scripture hanging somewhere so you can see it and you're constantly thinking about it. Meditate on God's word. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, how blessed or how happy is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. Right from the beginning of the Psalms, you meditate on the law and the words of God. Amen. Do you meditate on His words? What are you thinking of all the time? Are you thinking about, well, never mind. I'm not going to go on a rabbit hole and a trail. The Hebrews meditated by muttering or murmuring in an almost inaudible way. In other words, it was on the tip of their tongue. They're saying it over and over again in such a way that they're saying it quickly and it's quietly, but it's on their tongue, and they're hearing it sort of, but their tongue is working while their mind is engaged, and it's all connecting, and it just reinforces, and they're over and over again, just sinking in and getting deeper and expanding more broadly in their mind and in their spirit and their hearts. Reflect. Contemplate the truth over and over again in your mind. And the result of meditating on the Bible is that our mind will be informed by truth. It doesn't change. It's objective. It stands forever. It's God's word. He means what he says. And you can count on it. You can anchor to it. You can build on it as a rock. And you will be renewed. And you know what? Who doesn't want that? Think about that. As relativistic as our culture is, where anything goes, and if it's good for you, that's fine. But this is good for me. So you do. Have you heard? That's your truth. There's only one truth. It's God's truth. And it doesn't change. And you can stand on it. And our culture will tell you all the time, you can do whatever you want with that. Make it your own truth. My mind will be renewed so that I can think accurately and godly about my world around me, about God, about myself. And then I will succeed when I read and meditate on his word. I'll be successful because I will do things and I will think and process things God's way, not the world's way or my way. And you'll be successful. You'll stand. You'll be en route and you'll stay on track. And King David understood this principle. He declared that this meditation on God's word brings him comfort, perspective, joy, peace, and confidence for life. And it's littered throughout the Psalms. And today, we're so confronted, when you think about this, with information overload, right? I know that there's a million voices in my head. I don't think I have those issues. I mean, I don't mean that like in an insulting way. But I'm just saying, there are a million voices that are pounding at me, like nonstop. And as many thoughts and ideas that are like injected and just forced into my mind by all the media that I encounter, all the voices, not to mention your boss at work or your spouse and your parents and everybody else around you, I feel that even I don't know what I'm thinking at times. You ever have those moments? Do you ever have those moments? Be honest. That's when I need to focus my mind and start to meditate on God's unchanging word, the truth. To place all my attention on God's word. Have you meditated on God's word today? Have you? Have you really read and processed what he has said in the pages of this book, the Bible? Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The heart of God opens itself to us in God's word." And when you meditate on it and read it, you understand and know the heart of God, and then you can live the heart of God. Do you want to know what God thinks about you? Do you want to know how much he loves you? That he has a plan for your life? That he never abandons you? That you can succeed? Then meditate on God's word. Somebody said, and I love this quote, "Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind." And you find his mind right here. Within the word of God, and with that word of God at the forefront of our minds and in our hearts, what we do then is we progress and our attitude is altered. We have a righteous or a right attitude, a good attitude, a proper attitude. An attitude is the key to living out the information that you have about yourself and the world around you. And in particular, even the Bible. It's your disposition. It's your outlook on life. The way you think about life and the world around you. An attitude can be contagious. Can't it? I know, because I have infected people with bad attitude. I've been infected by people with bad attitude. I've been affected positively by people with good attitudes and vice versa. It works that way. And to be successful, you don't need money. You don't need to know the right people. You already know God. So I have to try to find to know all the right people and connect with the right people. It's helpful and it's good. Relationships, God wants us to have those. But you already know God. Start there. I mean, who else do you need? Yes, he gives us people, but you have God. Don't worry about trying to be popular so that you can succeed, or to be the owner of a huge corporation, and so on and so forth. You get the picture. Your circumstances, do not determine your success. Not in God's eyes. Not in God's eyes. Boy, what should we think of Moses thrown into a basket down the river? What should we think of Joseph in prison and so on and so forth, and many others throughout Scripture? What should we think of them if we focused on their circumstances? They never did. They meditated on God's faithfulness and His law, His word to them, that He would never leave them, and He had a plan. And they held true to His word. Be strong and courageous. Stand on God's word. Let your attitude be rooted in His promises. Attitude is the brother of perception. How you see yourself determines how successful you will be. Listen, I'm not here to give you a psychology thing or pump you up or whatever, but it's the truth. It's biblical. If you see yourself as, you know, always down and out, never able to succeed, you're a failure, that's all you see yourself as, well, you're probably going to trend that way. Right? You're probably going to trend that way. Oh, man, the next time I, you know, go to work, I'm going to mess up that job again. Well, you're going in with a terrible mindset and attitude, and that's a problem. I do that in various aspects of my life, unfortunately. And it doesn't usually work out well when it's like that. It doesn't. And so just because you're a Christian, if in fact you are this morning and you're here, doesn't mean that you automatically have a good attitude. Your good attitude has to be determined and forged because you meditated on God's word. You must meditate on God's word day and night so that you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, as Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 says. If you see God's hand in everything around you, you can then put everything into God's hand and not worry about it because you take Him at His word. You never leave His line of sight. I promise you, because He promised it. Let me encourage you. You will be successful. If you love God's word and you have that good attitude, your success will ultimately be secured by the decisions you make to obey God's manual for living. It all ends, and the climax is that you obey it. You do what God says. Choose today. You have to choose. I have to choose today to live with the mindset that we are called by God. We're chosen by God. We have a holy destiny. No one can take that from you. Choice and not your circumstances determines your success. You're faced with so many options today, aren't you? Think about it. Like from what you'll eat to what you dress, but how you'll think about things. Are you gonna go home? I mean, some of you, you're gonna go home and you're gonna watch your football team this afternoon. And for those of you who, you know, aren't, you know, need to just get in with the times, you should watch more football. No, I'm kidding. Are you gonna watch that game? And because it's your team, and if they get crushed today, is your day ruined? Pastor Dan, I'm sorry, the Red Sox stink and they're not in the playoffs, but life goes on and God's still good, and then life goes on without the Red Sox. Right? It's okay. And our focus, our meditation is on all the wrong things, and then we get caught up and then we go off the rails. Will you make decisions that comply with the instruction of God's word? Moses reminds Joshua in our text, do not turn to the right, you're right, to the right or to the left. Meditate on it day and night. Do everything in it. Do everything in it. And to be successful is to fall in line with God's will and to do it His way. That's what it boils down to this morning. Be obedient to God because you've taken Him at His word. If you want to be successful, if you want to be faithful to God, the results of your life are up to Him in the end, right? And all that is pleasing, think about this, all that is pleasing to God is actually a success. He rewards obedience by the peace and the joy that He gives along all the curves in our journey, right, as we go. Whether it's something new you're going to embark on, a new week, a new day, whatever it is, and things that come, He is there. All the hills, all the breakdowns in your life, and all the joys, and until you reach your destiny, He's there. Do what God wants you to do. Obey. You know, when we love the Word of God, When we have a good attitude, a righteous attitude, it's going to lead us to wise, God-pleasing choices. When we're humble, when we're receptive to the Word of God, and our attitude is like, Lord, I'm good. I'm not. You are. I want it. And we start going His way. Then the words that Moses said to Joshua, that God said through him, I'm quoting, then you will be prosperous and successful. Not on your terms, not how you determine how that looks, but it's all going to be good. You'll start treating others the way that God wants you to. You'll start to handle sin and temptation the way that God says to. And He says, run away and say no. End of story. Pretty simple, isn't it? I just helped you understand all of that right there. Run away and say no. He'll help you, and you'll be able to, when you do this, to handle even successes in a humble, thankful, and righteous way, not gloating and not being all like, look at me and look what I've done. And it's all God to be humble. Love the Word. Meditate on it. Have a proper perspective, God's perspective on yourself, the world, and God Himself, and how He views sin, how He views the sinner around you, and how He views you when you sin. And make God-pleasing choices, meaning obey Him. Please obey Him. You're missing out if you don't. And again, I wish I could just pull you in. I don't suggest ever. I got a long ways to go. But if you would just know, like the inside, just the bubbling and just the, we got to get it. We got to do what God says every day as much as we can. I do too. And so because of that, because we got to take God at His word, we're going to hear this morning a testimony and we're going to praise God through it. And we're going to respond as well to what God wants to say to us this morning. And so I'm going to ask Carrie if she would come. I have a microphone for you, by the way, sister. And she's going to share, she's going to testify, and she's going to just, she's going to challenge us and just encourage us this morning. And so we're going to listen. And I think it fits. Amen.
Hello.
Hi. Is it on?
My name's Carrie, like Pastor Bob said. Maybe you don't recognize me. I'm smiling under the mask. Or maybe you haven't seen me around. Well, that's because I've been at home. I've been at home for the past 9 months, struggling with some medical things, some trials that I had. I was confused and upset, and I felt tortured and tormented. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about God and His Word. So I'm just going to dive right in. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me. I'm using NLT. Everything that I say today will be from New Living Translation. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair. I'm going to put my glasses on. Even though I made my text humongous, I still feel like I need it. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. I can rejoice over my problems because they have strengthened my faith. If I didn't have these problems, I may not have dug into the Word and came out at a different level of understanding like I feel like I am right now. Romans 5, 3 through 5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. So the Holy Spirit. Are you living in the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Was I living in the fruits of the Holy Spirit prior to my trial? The Holy Spirit guides you towards God. Sometimes it just seems like it's going on its own, but really it's the Holy Spirit that's guiding you. James 1, 2 through 12, faith and endurance. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. How do we let our endurance grow? This is something that, you know, I would just read it, but it really wasn't anything. I was just reading it. So how do you let your endurance grow? What is this, some sort of a marathon? I can think of like a jogger, and every time they go for a jog, they try to go a little bit further and build their lungs up. But let your endurance grow is not giving in to the enemy when life gets you down. Are you going to lean into the word of God, or are you going to wallow in your own self-pity? Which I did, by the way. Both of those things. So, verse 5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So do you believe that God is who he says he is? Then live like it. I'm talking to myself as well. I'm not standing up here saying that I was perfect and I already knew this. This is what I've learned. So you can show it by not freaking out when you have trials. Your endurance grows when you are learning to trust in God's word. Verse 12, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. If I claim to be a believer, if I say that I believe in God, then I should be acting that way, living in a way that shows that I'm a Christian, even in the bad times. That's the hard part. It's easy to do it when everything's going well. This isn't just a show for non-believers. It's for believers as well. It's for all of us. It's not like God doesn't know what you're feeling, what you're doing, or how you're acting. Do I think God's going to say, oh, yes, that Carrie, I count her as righteous because of the way she acted in good times? No, he's going to be looking at the way that I act in good times and bad times. 2 Corinthians 6:4. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. 1 Peter 1:6 through 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. There are some things that you just aren't going to be able to control. No matter how hard you fight it and plan and work to try and make things turn out your way, sometimes you just can't change it. Do you accept that? Do you believe that God's in control and that all things will work for his good? 1 Peter 5:6 through 11. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. The enemy is looking for a way to sneak in, and if he can pull things apart by using your worldly problem that you're having, then he's going to. Verse 10, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Because of your faith, you are strong and on a firm foundation when you are fully faithful. 11, all power to him forever, amen. So what are we going to do? How do we know what our proper reaction should be or how we should act when we feel lost and out of control because of our worldly problems? What are we going to do? I bet you all know it. We're going to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. I don't even know what it is that I'm trying to fight against when I'm trying to take control of whatever my problem might be. Therefore, verse 13, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith that stops the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So what does that tell us? What is God's word actually saying to us? What does he want us to do? Be alert. I've quoted that three times already. Watch out for the enemy. Use your faith and his word to fight your battles. Psalm 27:14. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Ha, the patiently one. Don't think that I was this perfect picture of faith, waiting patiently on the Lord, because I definitely was not. I was trying to take control of the situation. Hurry up, I want it to come out my way. Speed it up, I like to cook on high. You know, I want it done quick, and I'm going to have it done the way I want it to be done. I don't even know what it was that I was fighting against, but I was trying to make things happen the way that I wanted to. By the way, it's exhausting. It's exhausting to do that. So now I've changed my tune through the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the actual word of God. Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your help in the Lord now and always. So let's live by God's promises. He says in Proverbs 3:21, my child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them. What do you think common sense and discernment is? Do I even need to tell you? I doubt it. So if you don't know who God is, or if you haven't fully grasped his sovereignty, then take a look at this one. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, this is very clearly depicted by God himself in what I consider to be a stern way through Job in chapters 37 to 42. Don't worry, I'm not going to read that whole thing. That's very long. But Psalm 147:5 sums up Job 37:42 pretty good to me. How great is our Lord, his power is absolute, his understanding is beyond comprehension. Read those chapters in Job when you go home. Do you even know what it is that you're doing? How can I even know what God's full plan is? I don't. But I do know this. Hebrews 13, 5, 6. God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Now listen up. You can change your tune too. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Are you living in the Holy Spirit, or are you living in the spirit of fear? Because God tells us straight out that he does not give us a spirit of fear. So I want to live like God is who he says he is. I can stand up here reciting all these verses, but what really matters is the way that my heart feels and how I'm behaving. And I'm not saying that I behaved wonderfully this whole time, because I did not. So we know that 1 Corinthians 4:20, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's just, as Christians, as believers, let's just try to live like God is who he says he is. It's hard. It doesn't come naturally all the time. It does when you're having a good day, but when you're having a bad day, it's kind of hard. But either you believe the Bible or you don't. Remember what Jesus said about lukewarm faith? Now, there's nothing horribly difficult about this. It's not like I have to read between the lines when I'm trying to figure out what it is I should be doing. Sometimes we make things more difficult than they actually are. Just be faithful and live that way. And God said he's given us the Holy Spirit to help us with this. Now, I probably didn't even need to say all this that I've said, because guess what? It's actually summed up right in the Bible. It's written quite plainly, and I didn't even have to sleuth it out. 2 Peter 1:2 through 10. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, patient again, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Don't forget who you are. You're a child of God. He says right here, do these things and you will not fall away. Grow in your knowledge and faith of God and you will not fall away. Now I'm going to close with a short prayer. Once again, it's going to come straight from the Bible in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Nope, it's longer than that. It's 20 or 21, 16 to whatever the end of it is. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Carrie. Thanks. For those of you who have known Carrie and know what she's gone through, it's been quite the ordeal. And it all points, again, to the Word of God. That was intentional, what she did. That wasn't just because everything is found in the Word of God. Amen. Do we believe it? Amen. I ask you again, will you take God at his word? Will you take God at his word, as at the end she said, you're a child of God, if you in fact are a Christian. I'm a child of God. I don't belong to myself or anyone else. I belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, my Creator. And his word for me is good. And it's laid out clearly. And he wants me to know it because I meditate on it. It doesn't depart my lips. It doesn't escape and go away. It stays on my lips all the time, right? And it's hidden in my heart. And then everything I do will prosper and succeed. And you go through the hard times successfully. It's by God's word, with the help of His Holy Spirit. There's no other way. There is no other way. You could try whatever you want. It's all about God's word and the power of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Jeremy and Kate to come up. We have one more song I'm going to close with. I'm going to close in prayer. But the altars are going to be open, or you can sit at your seat as you listen to the song. You can leave when you're ready. That's fine. But I want you to reflect who you belong to and what God is doing and what He is performing in you because of your adherence to and obedience to the Word of God, which changes and transforms us to be more like His Son, Jesus. Amen? So let's listen and let's respond.
I am.
Lord, we take you at your word this morning as we go, Lord, as we reflect, God, that we belong to you and that you have told us to meditate on your word and not to depart. Those words would not depart, Lord. We would not depart from your ways, but your word would ever be on the tip of our lips, Lord God, and our tongue. God, I pray that as we meditate, we would, Lord, grow in our confidence and in our attitude, Lord, your perspective, your view of ourselves, of sin, of the world, and we would run this race, Lord God, your way. God, I pray that you would fill us, Lord God, with, Lord, just that desire to take you at your word, to do and obey what you said, for then, Lord God, we prosper and succeed. We thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, it is living, it is active, and Lord, it is working powerfully in us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to yield, to submit, and again, to take you at your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.